I am Brian.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start and manage and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 193. Welcome back, Brian.
It's good to be back. Ready for the weekend?
We had a fun week this week. You want to tell our listeners what we did?
Oh, it was a very, very busy week.
Yeah.
We did get to see some employees we haven't seen in a long time, and some of them we've never seen.
Yeah, there's folks on our team that are remote, and since the pandemic, we've never seen them. So yeah. They were all out this week here at the campus, and we got to meet them. Yeah, it was a delight, really.
It was. It was really good. For this is Rebecca's team, so it's an events team, the community team, podcast, obviously, and good to see everybody.
Yeah.
Who's our guest this week?
Well, this week we're going to learn a little bit more about buyer groups, which were announced in the last updates, and maybe a little even deeper than that. We're going to meet with product team manager Perrin Jogani, so we're going to talk about that.
Cool.
Any news this week, Brian?
No big news from eBay this week, but there is a news item that might be of interest to some eBay sellers since it may impact their business.
What's that?
Apparently, GoDaddy announced last week that their popular online bookkeeping service will cease operations in 30 days. However, I can find no actual mention of this on the GoDaddy website. Mm. The news of this closure of their bookkeeping service comes to us from sellers who have received an email notice from GoDaddy. So if you're a subscriber to their service, you may want to contact them directly.
Wow. We've talked a little bit about GoDaddy online bookkeeping service. It started out years ago as a eBay adjunct third party that was available in our applications folder we used to have years ago as Outright.
That's right.
It was the same product.
Oh my gosh, you've got a good memory.
Well, tell that to the people who keep saying otherwise. So yeah, it was Outright. And then I started using it back then. And then it was purchased by GoDaddy, I don't know, sometime in the last 10 years. But apparently they're going to just shut it down in 30 days.
Yeah, sunset it.
Sunset. That's a nice word of saying. 86.
86. The restaurant term.
Switch off the light. Yeah, and you know, there's a, I heard from, you know our friends Bill and Maida Webster?
Yes.
So Bill sent me a message saying, you got to do something. You got to do something. Well, what I got to do now? He said, with all your seniority and pull, you got to get eBay to buy it. And I said, I don't have that kind of seniority and pull. Where'd you get that idea?
You didn't walk straight over to the mergers and acquisitions team and say, you got to buy this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I marched in. I interrupted a meeting and said, sorry, hot item. But we just announced an integration with QuickBooks, which is another online service. And granted, it's not the same thing. And But look, if you're in business, at least try it out. If you really need an online bookkeeping service, there's one option. Yeah.
At least look into it.
I'm going to look into it. I've been a user of that GoDaddy online bookkeeping service, but I got to admit, since managed payments and since everything now being in eBay reports, I keep everything in that one account, my bank. I don't really need the online
bookkeeping. If everything's in a single account, then it's easier to keep track of it. So one thing, though, you know, you talk about you're running a business and our sellers are running businesses. The advantage of these tools, whether it's QuickBooks or whatever other services out there that they may want to look into, ultimately it's about is the time saving that you get from using those services worth the funds? And so don't look at it solely from the angst of changing the processor that you've been using, but rather, is this going to also enable you to save time over the long run?
Yeah, I pay a good price for my accountant services. But I think it's money well spent. It's deductible as a business expense. I can't face all that paperwork and regulations and trying to figure out taxes. This is someone who's expert at it, whether it's your own personal accountant or you go to one of those services. You know, there's many out there. Get someone else to do that work for you, pay for it, and that frees up your time. Actually
do what you're an expert
selling on eBay.
Yeah. Well, or finding inventory or listing or taking care of your customers.
On my way to the office the other day, I took the different route that goes right by a Goodwill and I thought, wow, I haven't been in there in 3 years. Should I stop?
Did you stop?
I didn't. A vision of my garage suddenly appeared in front of me that said, are you crazy? You want to put something else in me? I can't hold any more stuff.
I'm bursting at the seams.
The house is too, but I'm selling, so it works out.
Cool. We have a link to share, maybe?
Well, we do, because I talked about that integration with QuickBooks and eBay, and there is a link. It's not that hard, so we'll say it. It's just ebay.com/sponsored/Intuit. But of course, we'll put that link in the transcript for episode 193. Let's talk to our guest this week now.
Sounds good.
Every so often, we get to talk to someone from our internal product team on topics that I think our audience will find interesting, since you're all sellers, most of you. Perhaps some of you are buyers hoping to sell someday. And we have with us a senior product manager from Seller Tools. His name is Perrin Jogani. Welcome, Perrin.
Hey, Griff.
I remember you from our live days.
Correct. I spoke on offers to buyers last, I think, 2.5 years, maybe. Definitely pre-COVID. Yeah, this is my 8th year anyway. So.
Do you buy and sell on the site?
Yeah, buy and sell.
And that helps inform your job?
Oh, 100%.
Yes, of course.
I think there's a big push overall at eBay to get more people to sell, and it's important.
And your job entails the creation and management and enhancement of seller tools.
Yeah. So I've done multiple things. I've been in the selling team for 6+ years, all the way from listing tools. In the last few years, I've focused on the marketing tools, like how do we help sellers get more sales on eBay.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, is some of the marketing tools that have been around, some of them that have been recently added, some that have been changed. And I thought we'd start right off with talking about, well, we know about promoted listing and best offer and offer discount and markdowns and coded coupons. And now we have seller initiated offers, SIO, and coupons. So explain a little bit of how these different marketing tools work for someone who may not be familiar with them.
Absolutely. We have some tools that are available to all sellers, and then some tools that are available only to store sellers. So you need a store subscription. So for example, like promoted listings, best offer, offers to buyers is available for everyone. But then when you get into a little more advanced marketing tools, like having coupons, order discount, that's where we only make them available to store subscribers, because they are more advanced, and that's one of the value proposition of having a store subscription. So the way a lot of these, what we learned through seller-initiated offers was that when we give the power to our sellers to, like, hey, you have buyers interested, go and bring them on the other side of the fence. Sellers jump on it because they want to take control of their sales, because not a lot of other tools provide those capabilities. Buyers find this a lot more relevant from all the other marketing that they get across all the other marketplaces. And they're engaging the most from promotions that they're getting directly from the sellers. And we saw that in offers to buyers, both seller adopting and using it like on a daily, weekly basis, and buyers engaging with those and watching more. So we have taken a lot of those learnings. And now what we are doing is taking it one step further into the coupon capabilities. So last year, we invested a lot in providing sellers capabilities to create their own coupon, which previously was not available. So now once sellers create coupon, they want to do a lot. They want to share it on social media. They want to put it on their packaging slip. But what next? And that's where we wanted to take all our learnings from offers to buyers and say, hey, can I as a seller take that coupon and now go after different kinds of buyers? And we want to add buyer groups.
How does that work?
So what we did last year on the orders page, where you're trying to fulfill your orders or engage with buyers who bought from you, we provided you a capability where you can send those individual buyers coupons. And a big thing, like eBay cares about loyalty and enthusiast buyers. So do a lot of our sellers, because they are running a business and they want to drive repeat buyers. So sellers jumped on it to kind of send individual buyers coupon. And we were seeing a lot of response from buyers as well in kind of getting those, driving the repeat purchase. The big feedback we heard there was, hey, I want to do that in bulk. I don't want to do like send coupons one buyer at a time. There are some sellers who get hundreds or maybe thousands of sales a day. And
oh, dear.
Yeah. So that would not be manageable. And also, every buyer is different. Some buyer may be buying in home decor. The other would be buying in electronics. We have a variety of sellers. Some sellers who are very specific in a category. And maybe there are things they do within that category, which is different. And that's where they maybe use store categories to kind of differentiate. But then there are other sellers who like sell across a variety of categories. So the challenge was, if we had to give them this capability to do this in bulk, how could we allow sellers to do that more effectively?
And more targeted.
More targeted.
Yeah.
Because buyers engage when they see something which is more relevant to their interest. that they have shown to eBay and or the seller. And we want to provide those capabilities for sellers. We had a lot of different ideas, did some comparative research, also thinking about what this tool could be a year, 2 years down the line. We realized sellers want to build loyalty, but they want to also want tools around, hey, this buyer has bought home decor. I know what they would be interested in next. Or this buyer has bought in the last 30 days, and I know that the quickest way to win repeat buyers for me is to engage with them in 15 days. Or buyer groups is a tool where you can segment your buyers. And once you segment them, you can send them a coupon.
And a targeted coupon for a particular category for a particular amount.
Absolutely. So creating a coupon is a separate step. So when you're creating a coupon, you can create multiple coupons based on the different criteria you want. So you can say, this is my coupon for home decor. This is my coupon for maybe garden tools, or this is the coupon for my high value items. And then you can accordingly create different coupons and then see which coupon you want to send to one of the different buyers that you have.
I love the idea of being able to target to buyers.
Correct.
I sell a lot of cameras and I sell a lot of fragrance. Ah. I don't see there being a lot of crossover.
Yes.
So if I was to create these coupons and I wanted to target specific categories, I don't want to send fragrance-related coupons to the camera buyers.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense.
We do that all the time, like at eBay. And this is the first time we are starting to give those capabilities to our sellers, where they can take control of their marketing engagement with the buyers.
The one tool that works for me that eBay provides, and it's not really an aggressive marketing tool for myself, is when eBay lets me know, hey, there are eyes on your item.
Yeah.
Do you know about this? Every time I get one of those, if I go in and just lower the price or maybe send them an offer or something, it sells.
It sells.
Yeah. It indicates to me, beyond just watching an item or viewing it, if they've actively put it into their shopping cart but they haven't purchased it yet, that signals probably more of an intent to eventually purchase.
Yeah. So what we've seen is when you send out those offers, buyers, sometimes they buy that item, but they end up going to your store and end up seeing other items. We often hear from sellers is, hey, when I send this offer, I'm seeing sales on my store go up. And we're starting to hear similar stories from sellers who are using buyer groups. It's like, hey, I sent out coupons to my buyers and I'm seeing like sales across my inventory.
Have you received feedback that's resulted in maybe making some changes to the product?
Yeah. So the very first time when we launched, we didn't have capability to add the category segmentation. But we wanted to go out, have something out to sellers and see what's really important for them. And we've added category segmentation. The next feedback we are hearing is around a lot of sellers use store categories. Right now, we don't have the capability, and that's something we will explore. But what I want to drive here is within the selling team, we are reading your feedback. So the tools will mature. We want to put it in front of you, learn what's really important, and then iterate.
Where do you pick up this feedback? If I'm a seller and I want to let you know how I feel about a particular marketing or seller tool, where do I go to let you know this?
So on Seller Hub across, usually on the top right, there'll be a comments text, which will be clickable, which will open a pop-up or a survey. And across like the marketing tab, the listings tab, orders tab, you'll see that survey button.
Yeah, I have seen that. And it's not for show. It's an actual real form of input for feedback.
100%.
And you guys read it.
We try to read as many as possible. Both the good, the bad, the requests. It really helps.
I wonder if you've ever read any of mine.
Maybe.
I'll sign my name next time to see if it comes up.
You should do that.
Because there's a verbatim box, right, where you can put your thoughts.
And a lot of times, of course, it's how good you feel about it, but there's an option to provide your email address as well.
Yeah.
And if you check that, that allows us to maybe have a conversation if we have more questions.
Do people ever use that to report, I'm having a problem with this tool?
Yeah, we do. Sometimes we do have glitches. And like that is one
really?
Of
the... Really? Heaven forfend.
We have a lot of monitoring in place, but there have been times we've learned it directly from sellers.
Yeah. So it's really important if you're using these marketing tools or seller tools, wherever there's that option for providing feedback, It's for real.
Yeah.
And the people on parents' team read these, and it can result in very quick action if it's a problem or the adoption of a good suggestion.
So yeah, give us feedback. I know we've heard things around sellers want to know how, when they send out these coupons, how they're performing.
And
we are actively looking. The other one comes up is, hey, I want to create groups for my loyal buyers. The other one is, hey, I want to also engage with my followers. I have a lot of buyers who are following my store, and I would want to engage with them. We are actively looking at all of those options. The tool is maybe 2 months old. It's still a baby and it's growing. We would like go on this journey with you and with your feedback.
Right. So it's not set in stone. It can adapt and evolve over time. So it's really important, if you're using the tool or any of the tools, to provide the feedback, how you feel about it and what you think might improve it. It's the way to get something done on that particular type of tool for getting it to work even better.
Yeah. And I just wanted to add, it's one of the things we hear is, hey, I don't want to bombard my buyers. It's amazing to hear that sellers care about the buyer experience. That's our duty as well. And it's something we take very seriously. We are building tools for sellers, but we are also serving our buyers.
Yeah.
So we take buyer engagement and like bombarding very, very, very seriously. Of course, it's amazing to hear sellers care about it, but we try to at least take that hassle away from our sellers because they are doing so many things every day. We would hate to kind of leave that job to the sellers to think about all those problems.
The first person a bombarded, annoyed buyer is going to contact is the seller, not necessarily eBay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is a balance.
It's a balance, yeah.
And we're helping to maintain that balance.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you, Perrin. It's always a pleasure, and it's been a while, and hopefully you'll come back.
100% I will.
Okay, let us know what's new in seller marketing tools and seller tools in general.
Awesome, cool.
Perrin Jogani is Senior Product Manager here at eBay for Seller Tools. We've been talking about seller marketing tools. If you have questions, besides just leaving the feedback on any of those comment options in Seller Hub, you can also send it to podcast@ebay.com, and I'll get them directly to Perrin if it's something that's in his wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Perrin.
Thanks, Griff.
It's time for...
You got questions.
We got answers.
And our first question comes from eBay seller Carl Swain, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. I remember you harping on the advantages of getting a thermal printer over the years on your podcast, and I have finally decided to get a thermal printer.
Victory is mine.
My question is, what brands and model numbers do you recommend?
Oh.
If you're not allowed to recommend, then what one do you have for your personal use? I'm looking for one that does both eBay standard envelope and USPS click and ship labels, same size. FYI, 24 years on eBay, over 87,000 transactions. That's great. Been listening to you for years and years. My eBay business is United States stamps, first day covers, and I consider selling to be my hobby, but it is profitable and pays for my travels to stamp shows throughout the U.S. to stock the items I sell. I'm a member of the American First Day Cover Society. Store ID, Carl Swain. Carl, that's great.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you broke down and you joined the Griff's thermal printer cult. Well, Carl, I've relied on a Zebra label printer since, I want to say 2009. I believe that's when I bought my first one off of eBay. Of course, it was a Zebra LP2844. And if you search for these, you'll recognize them. There were so many of them made, and they're still going strong. In fact, they're such real workhorses. Brian, I still have a few in the garage that are still hooked up, and they still work. But, Carl, about 4 years ago, I upgraded to another Zebra. It's the GK420, and it's been incredibly reliable. I use a Mac, and it was actually pretty easy to set up because Macs or the Apple operating system can be a little challenging in the past to actually set up a printer, but this one was a piece of cake. It was very easy to do, and I just bought a new Mac. And it was even easier. So I just plugged it in, found the driver, ready to go. That's what I use. But again, I only print 4x6-inch labels. And I believe that this Zebra model that I mentioned, the GK series or the LP, they can accommodate other smaller sizes. Brian, you just bought one. What did you buy?
I did. I bought actually a used one on eBay.
Yay.
To save some money.
Mm.
I bought a Dymo 4XL.
Okay. Because you're going to only print 4x6 labels, right?
Yeah. I can't imagine printing anything other than the 4x6s.
Yeah, Carl's in a different boat. He prints those smaller labels. So right. I'm going to make a recommendation for him in a minute. So Dymo printers are fairly popular, though I got to tell you, I hear they can be problematic, but they're really pretty affordable. The printer that a lot of eBay sellers are just going gaga for is the Rollo.
That's right, yeah. Rollo.
I don't have one. Rob upstairs has it. He swears by it. He just got the – he upgraded to the wireless version. But apparently, it is the thermal printer du jour. Any eBay seller who is anything is now getting a Rollo printer. So I guess I should break down and get one. I don't know.
Can I ask you a quick question?
What?
So you've stuck with Zebra. Is it like a more like robust like one than like the Dymo and Rollos? Is it more business-oriented versus a casual user?
My experience with the Zebra printers is that they're just built like workhorses and they just never break. They it never break like down. It. So I'm really happy with it. I'll probably keep it. But then I only print 4x6 labels. So, Carl, my recommendation is to, you know, either a Dymo or the one of the Zebra printers. But since it sounds like you never print a 4x6 label, get one that's going to be dedicated to whatever label size you're going to print. On eBay, there's that option to print within a 2x7 label. And if you opt for that, when you select your printer, it'll scale to whatever small label you're using. And those are the ones that are just like the strip, you know, so you can right. put it on an envelope as
and
opposed to.
And selling stamps, he probably uses ESE.
Probably uses it a lot, yeah. And the same thing with the new eBay standard envelope postage when it prints out. It's best to have it print out on one of those. But my overall recommendation is explore each printer's specs and reviews, especially to decide which one will meet your needs and then try it.
And one tip, though.
Yeah.
If you need to print various sizes as a rule, then you might want to have two printers set up ready. Changing out labels is a pain. Having one printer for, say, 4x6 labels and another dedicated to the smaller 2x7 postage label would be the best option.
Yeah, I can't imagine on a daily basis changing out labels. You're always going to waste one because it always prints out one when you shut it. You're
and
much
it's
better
time.
Off. Yeah, it's time. Unlike Carl, it sounds like he just has that one type of label he needs to print. But if you want to print more than the 4x6, you want to print smaller ones, bite the bullet. It's a business expense. Get a separate printer that's dedicated to each size so that it's much faster when you're going to print. You don't have to stand up, go find the roll, open it up, take it out, put a new roll in. You have to go back to your configuration settings.
Yeah.
This way, if you have two printers, you have two printers set up and they're already configured. It's much faster. Yeah.
Cool.
Our next question came to podcast@ebay.com. It's about shipping. Hi, my name is Nidra. I enjoy listening to your podcast. I've been selling for years, but I've only started doing it in earnest. I picked up little ideas through your podcast to improve my eBay business, like Griff's idea of having templates. I updated all my templates and wow, thanks, Griff. Well, you're welcome. I have a question about shipping large items. I see that I can choose freight shipping and also local pickup. My question is on the freight shipping. If I choose that, does it automatically choose a freight company for me, or is there more I need to do? And what about calculated shipping? I'm sure it's very easy because I've never done it. It's intimidating. Maybe you've done a podcast on this or have information somewhere I can go to. I just haven't been able to find it. Some guidance on this would be very helpful. That was Nidra, eBay seller Nidra.
A really good question, Nidra. There is a page on Seller Center dedicated to freight shipping on eBay. It's fairly extensive, yeah. So you can go to, and we'll include the link in the transcript, but ebay.com/sellercenter. Then click the shipping link on the top link bar and select freight shipping.
And again, we'll put that link in the transcript. And on that page, Nidra, you can find a list of freight companies that eBay supports as far as tracking. So the first step, if you have something that you want to list, that you want to provide a freight option, is to find a freight company that's on that list that has a location near your town, city, or locale. And you got to work directly with them prior to putting up a listing for an item that, well, you're going to have to ship by freight.
Here's a list of what you will want to know from a freight company. Pickup and crating items, the fee schedule, size and weight maximums, coverage for shipments lost or damaged in transit.
Yeah, those are the four most important things. You want them to come and pick up and crate the item. You don't want to do that yourself. You want some idea of what they're going to charge. Do they have maximums and minimums when it comes to size and weight? And, of course, what kind of coverage for the shipments? And when you're creating a listing, eBay does offer something called the flat rate freight as a shipping listing option. And there you can state a single price to buyers in all U.S. destinations, which is what you want to collect for shipping. Or you could actually offer free shipping as freight.
With the estimate from freight built into the cost of the item.
Well, of course, Nidra. You don't want to have to pay for it out of the proceeds without having it built in. Alternatively, in the listing flows, you could choose to list with shipping type freight.
Right. You can actually create a separate shipping policy for freight and use it for items that can only be shipped via freight.
And for those listings, the buyer would not see a quote or shipping cost within the listing. And this is interesting. I just got this information. But rather, upon attempted purchase, so you get a buyer and they're going to commit to buy, you'd be receiving a message from eBay alerting you to provide your buyer with a freight quote.
Which you can do at that point since the buyer's location is known and you'll see it in the message.
Yes. And that will make it possible for you to check your rate table provided by your freight company so you can simply respond back with a price on the eBay invoice for payment. Then you'd simply arrange delivery directly with the buyer using the message system.
One more thing, though. If you set up a listing for freight, make sure to not require immediate payment so you can send the buyer the adjusted invoice.
Oh, Brian, good catch. That would be important. Also, in the description, Nidra, for your item, you might want to indicate a range of freight shipping costs based on quotes per zones that's been provided by your freight shipper. So a potential buyer who you won't know necessarily right off where they're located can see, oh, she ships to the Northeast and it costs this much. I'm located in the Arizona Southwest area. Oh, it's going to cost that much. Then they have that idea in their head prior to purchase.
One other thing, Nidra, when you're listing via freight, don't as a seller make an estimate. Years ago, I once bought a chest of drawers from someone and they estimated the shipping, but then pushed it onto me to finalize it with the freight company. I thought, okay, the seller knows what they're doing and they did the estimate. When the actual shipping came from the freight company, it was two times more than what the estimate was.
Ooh, not good.
Because the size of the box that the freight company packed the item in was just over some limits where it then pushed it up to a much higher rate. Since I'd already purchased the item, I felt obligated to go through with the transaction, which I did, but it made me really soured on that. So don't estimate. Let the freight companies know. And if you can get them to pack it in advance, then it's good because you can actually dial in what it's going to cost to a region.
Most freight companies that you reach out to, they'll just want to know what it is you're listing and roughly how big it is. They do this so often. They can say, oh, you've got a sofa that sits four people. Okay. They may come out and weigh it and then dimension it. They don't want to do that if they can just give you a quote right then and there.
Right.
So make sure you get that quote from the freight company before you list the item. And that's part of this process we just outlined.
I wish shipping via freight, Nidra, was as easy as shipping by the three main carriers on eBay, but it isn't. Mm. However, the shipping team has told us that there are plans to make freight options more integrated in the future.
She asked about local pickup. You can do that, but you've just limited your audience to people who can drive and pick up the item. I'm not quite sure what she meant by calculated shipping, if that was part of the freight question, but if you had questions beyond freight just about listing items that are with calculated shipping that are not freight, that's really simple. All you need to do when you're setting up a listing is you just have to know the weight of the item boxed and the box dimension. I think it's very smart if you're going to list an item to have a good idea of what kind of box you're going to put it in before you list it. I know exactly when I see something, I go, oh, that's going to fit an X box. It's going to weigh this much. If you can provide at the listing point the weight dimensions of the box and you select a service and then you select calculated shipping, you provide a handling time. When a buyer, no matter where they're located, sees the items, eBay does the calculations based on that information and the carrier and class of service you've picked for that listing and provides the buyer with a shipping quote. So that's how you do that.
Yeah, and for me, I love the fact that we can get shipping supplies via the store because I then have a variety of shipping materials because I don't sell the exact same thing. I sell a variety of stuff. And then I can put the item in the box that fits the best and put it on the scale. I know the dimensions. I know the weight.
Always add a little bit for packing materials.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Then I'm set.
It comes with experience, Nidra, but I think you'll be fine. It sounds like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
eBay seller Joel was listening to our last podcast, Brian, and he heard our answers to questions about GSP, the Global Shipping Program, and time away, and our little answer about quantity sold. Well, Joel spoke up because he has these insights. Griff, Brian, the misinformation that time away does not work with GSP might be related to the email eBay sends. When I have an item I have listed that sells with GSP, I receive an email with the subject, your item sold, ship ASAP. And in the body, it says, congratulations, your item sold to the global shipping program. Your buyer paid. Please ship your item within 1 day to the U.S. shipping center. So it appears that Joel has seen, and maybe other sellers who are worried about this, is this email gets sent out and it needs to be altered if the person is time away.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that could be the reason. Joel says, this shipping with 1 day instruction contradicts my 4 day handling time on a listing, and it might be causing the time away confusion as well. I reported this to eBay 4 business months ago, and emails are still coming this way. So, Joel, we'll bring this to the attention of the teams responsible for the emails and for shipping. Joel goes on to say, as for the quantity sold, on the other account I have, says Joel, I have the out-of-stock option turned on for GTC or good-till-canceled fixed-price listings. If an item goes to zero, I later restock it, and it goes live again, I don't lose the number of items sold count. Well, there you go. Because we said to Kyle, when he sent him email in about this, that there was no way to do it. Joel says, I have a listing that I started in 2016, which has gone down to zero available out of stock many times, but it still shows the total number of items sold, in this case, 501. So if your seller, Kyle, relists, he loses the item sold count and has to be very careful of number available for sale because eBay propagates number sold on the old listing. But if he adds quantity to listings which none are available, which can only be done with the out of stock enabled, the quantity sold count is maintained. Well, there you go. See, we don't know anything.
That is actually really good insight.
Yes, Joel, I can't thank you enough. He also says, I already have a mug. Don't need another. Well, Joel, what about company? I'm happy to send you another mug. Just let me know. I think because the information was so corrective and informative, I think we should.
You know, in addition to Joel, Joel was not the only one who commented on the GSP and time away. On the Facebook page for the eBay for Business podcast, one of our previous guests, Libby, actually also commented that there's some language within Seller Center around this topic that's a little bit confusing as well.
Well, I'll go look for it and I'll send a note to that team. I can't thank our eagle-eyed sellers enough for pointing out when we get these things completely correct.
Agreed. I think the site does change and there's little nuances. Our most experienced sellers will likely know more than us.
As it should be.
Yes.
We run the podcast, so we get to parade
which is
that
why
we know more than anyone. So.
But we should have people like Joel on.
I don't know. Does he want to be on the podcast?
He'll have to email you.
Yeah, a lot of people who are expert don't really want the exposure. That's true. But we'll ask him. We'll see. Why don't you read our next one?
So our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by seller Roy, who says, Hi, Brian and Griff. I have 2 questions about Terapeak. When I search for sold comps in the research tab, I see that some listings are clickable where you can go to the listing and see all the details while some are not. Do you know why? My second question is a yes or no question. Do you think that eBay will expand the Terapeak search beyond 365 days one day? I think that WorthPoint won't like that, or me for even asking.
Well, what are you going to do?
Thank you for your very informative podcast and the time that you put into it. Roy, username almosteverything2010. Please don't send me another mug. My eBay sales went up 10% since I received one from you before, and I'm not ready for another 10% yet. Baby steps here.
Well,
I love that.
I think he's confusing causation with correlation, but you know what?
It could be the mug.
I think we're going to be fine with that, yes.
So, Roy, if a listing link in a list of Terapeak results is not clickable, it means that 90 days or more have elapsed since that listing has ended.
That's because we delete items from sold search after 90 days. And Roy, to your question asking if eBay will ever expand Terapeak search beyond 365 days, yes or no? Maybe. Not sure. Don't know. For certain, at least. I suppose it's possible, but as far as we know right now, there are no plans to do so.
And Roy, although you don't want another mug because you fear that an additional one will boost your sales beyond what you can manage.
Mm-hmm. First world problem, indeed. I think I can complete that thought. Maybe you could donate your extra mug to a seller who might need a boost.
Or sell it on eBay.
Or donate it to an emerging nation. They could use it.
The other thing, Roy, I want to touch briefly on WorthPoint. You mentioned it. It is a good service. Most of our listeners may not be aware, but they leverage eBay data. They're really valuable for a kind of like what I'll call long tail.
Yeah, collectibles,
collectibles and antiques. There's probably not value from an eBay standpoint necessarily in keeping whatever the latest iPhone case out there for decades, probably doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah. But again, who knows? I can't say for certain whether or not it'll be expanded.
It's still a maybe. Or not even a maybe.
He wanted a black and white yes or no, and I think you've come to the wrong podcast. If you don't know that right now, that you don't get a definitive yes or no answer, I don't know what I can tell you. Well,
there's some stuff we can say definitively.
Right. Should I sell on Amazon? No.
No. So we had a question posted to our Discuss the Podcast blog on community. It was posted by eBay seller My Cottage Books and Antiques, who wrote, "Just a suggestion. I think it's great eBay has made it easy to post to Snapchat. It looks simple enough for me. But how about an episode explaining how to use Snap effectively for selling? How do I find potential buyers, for example? In other words, it looks easy enough to create the Snap post, or whatever it's called, but what exactly do I do with it once it's created?"
I have no idea.
That's a really good suggestion.
It is. I think I made it clear last week. I have no experience with this.
Well, we should find a seller who is using Snapchat to promote their eBay listings. Maybe have them talk about how they'll leverage Snapchat for promoting their eBay inventory.
That's a good idea. It just won't be me. I mean, nothing against Snapchat or anything. I have enough social media to handle with the podcast, and I don't have a Snapchat account, so I can't be the expert.
Maybe I'll ask the team that is on the community board, like just do a little post, say, hey, or if there's a discussion out there, we can ask, does someone really know how to do this, and do they do it well, and see what they
wanna
say.
Want to tell us how you do it?
Or if one of our listeners is listening and you use Snapchat to
please
promote your items,
yes,
email us in.
Exactly. And finally, Brian, our last question this week comes from eBay seller Drina, who is located in Korea. Drina sent in this question to podcast@ebay.com as an audio file attachment.
Hi, Rebecca, Chris, and Brian. My name is Drina, and I'm a hobby seller from South Korea. I collect Barbie and similar fashion dolls, and I started selling on eBay because my tiny room is filled with dolls, and it is becoming a hoard rather than a collection. Now I'm selling my other items in my home as well, hoping to have some more space for new dolls. I have so many questions regarding multiple variations listings. So my first question is why this option is not available in some categories. For example, dolls and teddy bears category, or at least some subcategory of it, is unable to create multiple variations. It is one of my main categories, so I thought this option was only available for store subscribers for a long time. So I'm selling the same doll in different hair colors, and I wanted to create a multiple variation listing and list all these different options in a single listing instead of listing like red hair doll, pink hair doll, green hair doll, etc. But it is not possible, and I feel like some of my listings with similar titles are not on the top of the search result. And then my second question is why multiple variations listings are unable to add best offer option. It is only able to be listed as buy now, and we can't send seller-initiated offers as well. And my last question is whether you would recommend using multiple variation option or not. I wanted to figure this out by trying by myself, and I'm feeling that I make less sales on multiple variations listings compared to the normal listings. It is partly because I can't make offers to my buyers, as I had many sales through seller-initiated offers. But looking at other sellers, they are making great sales with multiple variations. So I want you to hear your general idea on this. Thank you for doing a great podcast and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sending an audio file as well. That was really great.
It was. It was a really good quality.
And really good questions.
And yes, we can send mugs to Korea. And of course, we're going to send you one. So look forward to that.
The options for multivariations is available in the dolls and bears category and its subcategories. In the classic or older listing form, it should show up automatically. But I believe you are using the new listing form.
Yeah, that's why she's not seeing it. Because if you're using the new listing form and you don't see the option for multivariation, you may need to configure the setting for that in the form so you can turn on the variations options. Here's how you do it. Go to the top of the page when you're in that listing form, and up in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see three little dots on top of each other. Click it and then select Settings. slide the option button for variations to the right to turn it on. It'll go from gray to black. Now the option for multivariation should be showing on the listing form because it is there. It's available.
So hopefully that'll help her on the first one. As for best offers, I believe that the reason for not providing that option for multivariation listing is due to the complexity of the listings and the options that buyers and sellers have.
Yeah, and we'll report back when we hear back from that team whether or not what the reason is, if there is one. And is there any chance of working through the complexity and providing seller-initiated offers at the very least, if not best offers? Now, to your question about do I recommend multivariations, well, it depends, really, because I always recommend that a seller test a feature to see if it works for them. And that sounds like what you did. You said that other sellers selling in your category seem to be more successful with multivariation, but are they the exact same items? If you want to provide a little bit more detail, I could take a look at that for you. But if you find that for a specific item you're selling, like dolls, that they're identical except for hair color, but multivariation listings are not as successful as single quantity listings for them, then I would say use the single listing feature, especially if you have a greater velocity of sales by using best offer and seller initiated offers. It's all about making the sales. So whatever format works best for you, that's the one you should do.
And I love that Raina sent her question as an audio file.
Me too. Yeah, it's actually really easy to do now with an iPhone. And I think you can do it with Android as well. And we love having actual human eBay seller voices asking the question.
I know. Instead of our boring voices, just reading the questions.
Yeah, well, I suppose. And the auto quality tends to be far better than the sound of a call left on our voice line. Yeah.
And can I just say, Korea. She's from Korea.
It's a small world now, Brian.
I understand, but I think it's wonderful that she took the time, one, to find the podcast and to listen to it and then send in questions. So
sure,
thank
you. Well, we have an extensive reach here at the podcast. Yes. Our tentacles reach around the globe to help sellers no matter where they are, as long as they can understand really bad English. So if you want to send us a question as an audio file, we would really appreciate it. It's pretty easy to do. Just check your phone. You can leave a message and then send it as an attachment to podcast@ebay.com.
But that's not to say we don't want you to call that number.
Ooh, that
please
number.
Yeah. Do. Yeah. It's easy. Just call in your question to 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. By now, you should have it tattooed on your brain. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
What's that? You say you're not a call on the phone person?
No.
No worries. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Yeah, we like email too. I just like voices better. Okay, now it's time for your 3-point podcast checklist.
Number one.
Yes.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news every day.
Number two. To seller Carl's point, stop putting it off. Your life is about to change forever. Once you hook up and start printing labels on your new
or used or refurbished
or pre-owned even thermal printer.
Number three, need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, we'll meet a seller whose identity at this time is a mystery.
So you haven't booked them yet?
Brian, you have so little faith. Of course I haven't booked them yet. You know me too well.
Like a book. We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Perrin Jogani.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.